Scripture reading this morning will be from Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. Romans 10, 13 through 17. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Good morning. Once again, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here with you this morning to worship together and to study the Word of God together. Kinsey and I are grateful for the warm reception that we have received. Y'all have been very kind and welcoming to us, and we appreciate that so much. It's been good to begin to make some connections with some of you, some of my fellow band geeks and fellow hunters and all of those things. It's good to make some of those connections, but also it's even good to make connections with that common bond we all have in Christ Jesus, the redemption that he has brought to each of us, and the stories that we all have of the ways the same gospel changes our lives. It's good to be able to connect over that as well. And I look forward to connecting with many more of you as this weekend progresses. Appreciate the good singing that we've had. Both of you have done such a wonderful job so far. I appreciate that, and I am grateful for all the work that y'all have put into this weekend and making it a successful effort. And I hope that we can together be strengthened and edified, and that we can glorify God as a result of our efforts together. Again, I could probably say a lot more, but we have more important things to talk about this morning, so we'll go ahead and step on into our study this morning. When we speak about how one becomes a child of God, becomes a Christian, we start with this series of this list of things that one needs to do in order to become a Christian. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And then hopefully we might add on the faithfulness after that part. And I'm not opposed to just saying that, but one thing that I think we ought to be careful of is that we're not just throwing those out there as if it's just a mere checklist, but we're appreciating what each of those steps actually means. And I want to focus on the very first one of those things, hearing. What does it mean to hear? I think about a couple that may be dealing with something, and either the man or the woman kind of just takes the other, and maybe they look them directly in the eye and says, I need you to hear me. Are they saying, I want you to make sure that the auditory sounds go into your ear? Well, obviously not. I want you to pay attention to what it is that I'm saying. I need you to listen to me. Let me suggest to you that that's the very thing that God says to us. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear my word. I want you to hear what I'm telling you. We spoke last night about how valuable the word is to us, and this morning, I kind of want to focus a little more on the application of that idea, receiving the word in a way that we can hear it in the way that God wants. And so I want to look at what it means to hear and what that's really going to look like in our lives, and how we can practically apply the concept of hearing the word of God to us. And so to begin, I want to look at what does it mean to hear. Biblically speaking, it could be defined as giving careful attention to. We find that phrase all throughout the New Testament, take heed to this, or pay close attention to, or be watchful. All of those are the same kind of concept. Pay attention, or to hear and to understand the message that is being given. And throughout the New Testament, one of the common phrases that you might find, for example, Matthew 11 and verse 15 being one of them, is, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, we all have ears, but the reality is not everyone has ears to hear what God is trying to tell us. And so this is the reason, one of the reasons, that is, that Jesus speaks to us in parables. Now, before we get there, we might see in Hebrews chapter 5, we referenced this a little bit last night, Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 11, the author is trying to teach them about Jesus. The reality is they're discouraged in their faith. They're about to walk away from their faith. They're about to walk away from Jesus. And what the author is trying to do is trying to remind them, if you just knew who Jesus was, you'd never cast off of your faith in Him. You'd never give up on Him. And he says, I'm trying to tell you about Jesus. I'm trying to get you to appreciate and to understand who Jesus is and everything that He's done for you. But it's hard for me, he says in verse 11, because you've become dull of hearing. You've become dull of hearing. And that's not a compliment. I think we get that. It's not good that they've become dull of hearing. We might say you're hard-headed to somebody. Get that through your thick skull, we might say. That's the way these Hebrew brethren were. And so for that reason, Jesus teaches in parables. In Matthew chapter 13, we find the parable of the sower. Jesus teaches on the parable of the parable of the sower, and then the disciples ask, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And Jesus' response then is to you, verse 11 of Matthew 13, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. And for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand." And then he talks about Isaiah. They fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. You will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. He's describing the fact that they don't listen to what God wants them to hear. And we also find this concept written to the seven churches of Asia. He who has ears to hear, that's the end of that parable in Matthew 13. With each one of the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, it says, "Let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And so again, it presents the idea that hearing is more than just those auditory signals entering into our ear. To help us to further understand that, I think we might look at what it means or what the purpose of the Word of God is. Why has God revealed His Word to us? There's a couple passages I think we can look at to illustrate that thought. 1 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 13, Paul says, "For this reason we thank God, without ceasing, that when you received the word," I think that's the idea of hearing, "received the word which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God," notice the end of here, "which is at work in you who believe." So they received the word, and Paul says it's at work in you who believe. The word of God is intended to work in us. You think about going to the bookstore and you find these self-help books. And what they're intending to do is to give you these tools that you can use to help yourself. Sometimes it might be able to help you with your finances. Sometimes it might be able to help you with your health or some other area of your life. It's intended to help you, to help yourself, to do something to help yourself. The Word of God is intended to operate within us, to make changes in our hearts and in our lives. And that's exactly the idea of hearing the Word of God, is allowing it to do its work within us. We spoke last night about how profitable the Word is to teach us, simply to instruct us, to reprove us, to tell us that we've sinned against God, but then to correct us and then to train us to walk in the way that we ought to go. That's part of the work that the Word has been given to do. And then we find in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in verse 1, where Moses tells the people of Israel that the word of God is able to give them life. He says, "Listen, Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I am teaching you to do, so that you may go in and take possession of the land which Yahweh, your God, the God of your fathers, is giving you. And he says, I'm teaching these things to you so that you may live and go into the land that I've given you. See, the Word of God is not just intended to work in us, it's intended to give us life, spiritual life. Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. And that's what the Word is able to accomplish in our lives when we hear as we ought to. And then when you look at the purpose of preaching itself, why does God place an emphasis upon preaching in the Bible? In the Bible as a whole, even in the Old Testament, you have prophets preaching to God's people. As we read just a moment ago, it's through the preaching of the gospel that men come to know the salvation that God has made available to us. Appreciate the scripture that was just read a few moments ago. In Romans 10, verse 13, it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then he starts at that point there in verse 14 of calling on the name of the Lord and then works backwards from there. How can I call on him if I've not believed in him? How can I believe in him if I haven't heard him? And how can I hear without a preacher? And so the idea then is that they hear the Word of God so that they can then believe, so that they can then call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And then, of course, verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now, if you back up to the book of Acts, chapter 26 and verse 18, as Paul is describing being converted, he's saying that God has appointed me, God took me from where I was and appointed me for service in his kingdom so that he could preach the gospel. Notice what he says here in beginning of verse 17. He says, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am now sending you. Paul says, I've been sent to the Gentiles. Notice verse 18 now. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the authority of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. Let me suggest to you that that's really the essence of gospel preaching. What gospel preaching is intended to do, it's intended to open your eyes, to turn you out of darkness and into the light of Christ. It's intended to deliver you from the authority of Satan and to allow you to receive the forgiveness of sins. And if we think about that then, as far as what the Word of God accomplishes and what the preaching of the gospel is able to accomplish, then I think that gives us a little bit of a picture as to what hearing it means, receiving the Word that has been spoken. And so, truly hearing the Word of God means that we will allow that Word to change us into who He wants us to be. I'm going to give myself to it so that it can mold me into the people that God wants me to be. And so the question then I want to ask is, do you hear? Do you hear the Word of God? We find in the book of Zechariah, chapter 7, and verse 11, as you do throughout all of the Old Testament, this repeated pattern with the people of Israel. They were constantly being rebuked for this very idea. It says in Zechariah 7 and verse 11, they refused to give heed and turned a stubborn shoulder and dulled their ears from hearing. Sad commentary on the people of God at that point. In fact, that God had made a covenant with these people. He'd given them His Word, His law. And yet God says that you've turned a dull ear from hearing. And I think we see that around us today, right? We see people all around us that have rejected the Word of God. And Paul tells us that that very thing was going to happen in 2 Timothy chapter 4 when he charges Timothy to preach the Word and to be ready in season and out of season. Verses 3 and 4 then, Paul tells Timothy that the time would come when they would not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to fables. The idea is they're not going to hear the word of God, but instead they're going to heap up teachers who are going to preach to them what they want to hear, what's pleasant to them. And God says, I'm not going to be pleased with that. I want to look for a moment in the book of Mark. We'll spend just a few moments here in the book of Mark. At the end of chapter 7 of Mark, we find Jesus heals a deaf man. And then you come to the beginning of chapter 8, and Jesus heals the multitude of 4,000 people. And then in the middle of the chapter, we find a blind man is brought to Jesus. And this blind man was healed of his blindness by Jesus. And then right there, smack dab in the middle of that, you have that story of the healing or the feeding of the 5,000. And then a little discussion that Jesus has with his disciples. And one of the interesting things about Mark's gospel is Mark tends to use what might be called word sandwiches, where he tells a story and then inserts another story right there in the middle. That's the case in Mark chapter 5, when Jairus comes to Jesus because his daughter is sick and he wants him to come and heal her. And then right there in the middle of it, you have this woman who touches the hem of Jesus' garment and is healed. And then it turns right back to the healing of Jairus' daughter after she had died, and then Jesus brings her back to life. And we might be reading that and think that that's just some random insertion. Let me suggest that there's nothing random about the Word of God. What Mark's doing is presenting these stories, and they're meant to interpret one another. They're giving detail to one another. And I think that's the case here in chapter 8 with the feeding of the 4,000, and particularly the discussion that Jesus has with the disciples afterwards. Keep in mind again, Jesus heals a deaf man at the end of chapter 7. And then after this encounter with his disciples, Jesus heals a blind man. But notice beginning in verse 10, it says, immediately he entered the boat with his disciples and came to the district of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came out and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. And sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, why does this generation seek a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. And leaving them, he again embarked and went to the other side. Now verse 14, they had forgotten to take bread and did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them. And Jesus says, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And now, I guess if you're reading that, that kind of seems like a natural progression. He's just dealt with the Pharisees, and then he says, y'all watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of Herod. But then the disciples in the boat, they begin to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. I don't know about you, but if you're reading through that, and then all of a sudden the disciples start saying, well, oh man, we don't have bread, you're kind of thinking, do they not get that? Like, that's not what Jesus was talking about, right? And then verse 17, Jesus asks the question, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of pieces, broken pieces you picked up? They said to him, 12. And when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? And he said to them, or they said to him, 7. And he says, do you not yet understand? You know, the kind of discussion that Jesus has here is the kind of discussion that we would expect Jesus to have with the Pharisees. Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Are you not getting it? And that's the very conversation that Jesus often has with the Pharisees. But notice who it is that he's talking to here. It's not the Pharisees, it's his own disciples. Which is a bit interesting, isn't it? Jesus is talking to those disciples who have spent a great deal of time with Jesus. They've been close to Jesus for a little while now. And Jesus is saying, do you not see? Do you not yet understand? Are you still so hardened in your hearts that you don't see what it is that I'm telling you? And what I think we're meant to do there is look at the is not to look at the apostles or the disciples here and say, oh man, those guys just don't get it. What's wrong with them? Let me suggest to you that maybe the reason why this story is given is if the disciples themselves who are literally spending time with Jesus had a hard time with it, don't you think I might have a hard time with it? And throughout the gospel accounts, we find Jesus performing all these miracles, healing people. And you see Jesus going and healing men who cannot walk. And he heals blind men. And he heals deaf men. And those are not just random stories that Jesus is healing these people to do good for the people around him. They're meant to teach us something. And so like the disciples here, they didn't always hear the way that they should, and Jesus was able to make them hear. And so that's why we have Jesus healing a deaf man. And they don't always see the way that they should, and so Jesus is able to help them to see. And so that's why Jesus heals the blind man. And I'm not always able to walk the way that I ought to, but Jesus can make me walk right. So is it any wonder why Jesus heals the people who cannot walk? And I think we can see that principle, and I think the danger of it, and I probably feel like I've done this at times before. You hear that and you think, yes, Jesus can make me walk right, Jesus can make me hear right, Jesus can make me see right, and I obeyed the gospel and now I've got it all put together. Well, the disciples didn't, and they've been with Jesus, and so what makes us so special? I think what this story is meant to show us is that we still need Jesus to help us walk right. We still need Jesus to help us see right. And we still need Jesus to help us hear right. We still need Jesus just as desperately now as we ever have. And so the more that I spend time with Jesus in the Word of God and allowing it to work in me, the better I'm going to be able to see and the better I'm going to be able to hear in the way that God wants me to hear.
Amen.
And so we find even God's people sometimes don't always see the way that they ought or hear the way that they ought to hear. And we see application of that thought all throughout the New Testament. For example, in Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 2, the author of Hebrews makes application to the wilderness generation. At the end of chapter 3, he describes these people who were objects of God's wrath because they rejected the promise. God says, I'm going to give you the promised land. I'm going to allow you to dwell in it. I'm giving it to you. And then they come right up to the edge of the promised land and say, nope, they're too strong. We're not going to go. And it says at the end of chapter 9, or chapter 3, verse 19, we see then that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. They didn't hear. And so in the fourth chapter, he continues on, let us fear, therefore, lest while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have fallen short of it. For indeed, we have had good news proclaimed to us just as they did, but the word that was heard did not profit those who were not united with faith among those who heard. The word of God had been spoken to them, but what's the problem? It wasn't united with faith. They didn't believe the message that had been spoken. And so it profited them nothing. And so, again, we come back to the question then, do you hear? Do you hear? Paul instructed Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and in verse 15, Paul is encouraging Timothy to take heed to the word of God. He says in verse 11, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but show yourself as an example, as a model to those who believe in word, conduct, love, faith, and purity. He tells them to give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. In verse 14, do not neglect the gift that is within you. In verse 15, he says, take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them. so that your progress will be evident to all. When we hear the word of God, and when we allow it to do the work that it intends to do, our progress will be evident to all. I don't know the exact number that we have here, but I think if we went around the room, we'd have, 80 stories of how the Word of God operates within the lives of God's people. We're evidence of that. We've seen the changes that have taken place in our lives because we've given ourselves to God and to His Word. And the reality is, when one is not growing as they ought to, when one hasn't been hearing the Word in the way that they ought to, it's obvious that the Word is not continuing to do its work in them, in their heart and in their lives. They haven't surrendered themselves to the Word in the way that they ought. Then I want to look in Luke chapter 8 for just a moment. Luke chapter 8, Jesus asks a rather interesting question. He describes the light in verses 16 and 17. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so it can shine its light to those around it. Notice what he says in verse 18, though. Beware how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away. Be careful how you listen. Be careful how you hear. And so again, we come back to the question, do you hear? How are you hearing? The reality is, we need to be training ourselves to hear the words of God. We could probably sit here and talk for hours about something that you're interested in. Whether it's sports, or whether it's some movies, or whether it's some topic that you find interesting, politics. I don't want to talk about that, by the way, but maybe you could sit here and talk for hours on politics, whatever. You know, there are things that interest us. And so we could sit here and talk for hours on end about these things that are important to us, or that mean something to us, or that are valuable to us. Let me suggest, if we can't spend that much time talking about the Word of God, that may be a problem. How is it that we can spend 3 hours watching a movie just glued to the screen and focused on what the picture is trying to show us, but we find focusing on the Word of God difficult? Let me suggest that that's due to the fact that we are not giving ourselves the attention span for the eternal things that we ought to. Hearing the voice of God is the most important thing. And we ought to focus our hearts upon being able to hear God. Glenda Shales, she wrote a song that's called My Father's Voice. And it says, when I read the Word of God and then at once rejoice, for when I listen to its call, I hear my Father's voice. If we viewed this book that way, then that ought to change our perspective on it. This is not just any writing here. This is our Father's voice. It's His will. It's His Word that He's given us. And then, on top of that, it's hard to hear the voice of God when we've already decided what we want Him to say. How many times have people approached the Word of God with their idea already in mind, and they're only opening the Bible to try and find a way to prove what it is that they already believe or want to believe? And when we approach the Word of God that way, we're not hearing what God is trying to tell us. And we're not going to be able to receive the Word and allow it to operate in us in the way that God desires. And so, as we conclude our study this morning, I want to think about hearing the voice of God. And those who truly hear the voice of God are going to be careful to observe it. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, Deuteronomy has a lot of very interesting passages like this that describe some of the blessings of God and His Word and His law that He's given. In Deuteronomy 31, beginning in verse 9, it says here, Yahweh's portion to His... Oh, that's 32. I'd help if I read the right chapter. Chapter 31 and verse 9, Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priest, the son of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the time of the year of the remission of debts at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before Yahweh your God at the place which He will choose, you shall read this law in front of all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, the men, the women, the little ones, and the sojourner who is within your gates, so that they may hear, so that they may learn and fear Yahweh your God, and be careful to do all the words of this law. And their children who have not known will hear and learn to fear Yahweh your God all the days you live on the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. What he's saying there is when you hear the words of God, then it's going to make a change in your life. You're going to be careful to do what it is that God has given you to do. But then that begs the question, why is it so important that God wants us to hear Him? Why does God want us to hear His Word? Well, just briefly, let me just turn that around on you. Why do you want people to hear you in whatever regard? Don't you think God would be the very same way? But God wants us to hear because it's for our own benefit. When a parent tries to tell their children, don't stick your hand on the stove, the hot stove, because I don't want you to get burned. Don't play out in the middle of the street because I don't want you to turn into road pizza. The idea is I want you to do these things so that you have, so that good things can happen to you. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1, it says, this is the commandment and the statutes and the judgments which Yahweh your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do it in the land where you are going over to possess it. And then verse 3, O Israel, you shall listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you and that you may multiply greatly. God's saying, when you do what I tell you to do, it's going to be to your benefit. It's going to be to your well-being. We can see that with parents. Why do parents not allow their children to eat candy for dinner? Well, it's not good for you. In the same way, the laws of God are good for us, and they're for our benefit. It's also to help us avoid destruction. Jeremiah 25, verses 3 through 9, we find that when the people of Israel did not do what God said, bad things happened. When they do what God says, good things tended to happen. Funny how that works. Proverbs 1 verse 5 is the idea of to increase in knowledge. We spoke about that a little bit last night with the idea of the Word of God being able to teach us. He says in verse 5, let the wise man hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire guidance. He wants us to increase in our knowledge, not just of Him, but of His will, so that we can walk in it. But then we can find true satisfaction. In Psalm 85 and in verse 8, the psalmist here writes, let me hear what the word of God, Yahweh, will speak. For He will speak peace to His people, to His holy ones. But let them not turn back to folly. We mentioned in our Bible study this morning the idea of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon is kind of searching for fulfillment. What provides the joy, the lasting joy and fulfillment in one's life? It's not all these avenues that everybody's searching around for. It's not in wealth. It's not in accomplishments. It's not in things that we gain for ourselves. It's in serving God. That's where fulfillment lies. And what the psalmist is telling us is that God is going to speak peace to His people. And the idea is when they do what He says, when they live in the way that He wants them to live, He's going to bless them and they're going to be at peace. And so, God wants us to hear because it's for our well-being. And Jesus wants us not only to hear, but to observe what it is that God has given us to do. Luke 11 and verse 28. Luke chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus says, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. He wants us to walk in the ways that God's word gives. And wisdom will call us to do what the word of God says. We recall Matthew 7 at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus gives that contrast between the wise and the foolish man. He says the wise man hears the words and continues in them. The foolish man hears them and just ignores them. And certainly we want to be what the wise man is. James 1 talks about the need to be doers of the word, walking in the ways that the word of God describes, and not just merely hearers only, but being an effective doer of the word and be blessed in what we do. And then coming back to Matthew chapter 13, Jesus teaches us about the hearts of men when they hear the word of God. With the parable of the sower, he teaches us the different responses that hearts will have when they hear the word of God. Three of them are not positive. The wayside doesn't even receive the word. It's just kind of plucked up by the birds before it has a chance to do anything. But the thorny ground is the kind that's choked out by the cares of the world. The stony ground is when difficulties come, when persecutions arise, they both fall away. But then the good soil, the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, and who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And the reality is our heart is one of these four soils. And the only hearts that are good and the only hearts that are bringing forth fruit are the ones that are the good soil. And so again, how are you hearing? How are you receiving the word of God? If we do not bear fruit, we're not the good soil. And so God, as we started this morning, God is intending through his word to work in you, to make a change in your life, to make you into the person that he's called you to be, to make you like him, to share his holiness. The Bible is designed to take you from where you are to where you need to be, if you are willing. And so let us not just hear, but heed the word of God so that it can make us what God desires for us to be. I hope we have a greater picture of what hearing, biblically speaking, looks like. The importance of hearing the word of God and allowing it to operate in us in the way that God intends for it to do so. And if you've not surrendered yourself to the word of God, then we want to provide you an opportunity to do that. We want to help you with that this very morning. If you want to allow to give yourselves over to God and allow him to redeem you from your sins in baptism, to be washed of your sins and raised up into newness of life, we'd love to help you to become a child of God, to begin walking with him and allowing him to make you what he wants you to be. And if you are a child of God, maybe like the disciples, you haven't quite heard the way that you ought. We want to help you with that too. We'd gladly encourage you, walk with you, so that we can all overcome our momentary spiritual blindness and deafness, and that we can walk in the ways that please God. We're here to encourage and to help one another. Jesus tells us in Matthew 11 that we are to come to him with our burdens, and he will give us rest for our souls. He's inviting us to bring him these heavy burdens and take his yoke upon us, and to learn from him and find rest for our souls. And so that invitation has been extended to each of us, and it's extended to us this morning. And so if you find any way in which you need to respond to the call that God has given, we bid you to come as we stand and sing together.